everybody, and welcome back to You Can't Win. This is Tom here, and I'm joined by Donald as usual. And today, Donald has some thoughts on Call of Duty he wanted to share with us.
So my sister got me a Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the new one for Christmas, and I was been playing that for a bit. It's funny because I saw a little bit of the debate online about how it was like too mean to Russians or something. And I was like, I think Russia's going to be fine. Like, I don't do anything. I didn't think that was a big deal.
I haven't seen any of this. So what's the issue exactly? They're the bad guys or something?
Well, they're partly the bad guys. Some of them are bad guys. And I mean, it's like the first thing about any of these action kind of games is that they're pretty good now in any action movie or anything like that, like anything in that kind of genre. They're pretty good at knowing how to hide everything between half denials and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like they're never going to put like stuff that, I mean, if it does, like there's a Jack Ryan series and they kind of went too far with it and, you know, made it about Venezuela and all that kind of thing. And it kind of just looked silly. But most of the time in the big movies, like the Bourne movies and all that, it's never like if a general is doing something evil or something, then he's somehow disavowed by the greater power or something, right? Like if there's like a Chinese general doing something, right? Like it's never that China wants that to happen. It's more that there's the crazy general doing it on behalf of himself. And then China eventually finds out and stops it or something. You know, it's like there's got to be some level of denial involved. And then so in this game, they also have the name of the main country involved is called Uzbekistan. So it's just it's like a fake country. And but it's modeled closely on like Syria. Mm. And although it's kind of funny because the map, it juts out into the Black Sea is where it is. So it's kind of this strange thing because it's got like all these desert towns and stuff. And I'm kind of like, it's a little too close to the, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's up north, you know, basically, I don't know.
Yeah.
And anyway, so that kind of stuff, that none of that bothers me really, that kind of just the joking back and forth, you know, it's just the silly, you know, fake modern warfare stuff. That's fine. The thing that totally shocked me, and this is like spoilers for one of the campaign missions, I guess, is that so there's a mission where there's like a flashback to rebels when they were kids. And like the rebels that are from Uzbekistan who are, they look just sort of generically Middle Eastern kind of thing, right? Like, or maybe even a bit like Central Asian or something, you know, like, or Turkish, you know, like that kind of Turkic.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
But you wake up and it's 20 years ago and you're trapped under rubble and you have to kind of like push your way out. And then white helmets are basically, you know, the equivalent of them grab you out of the rubble. Mm-hmm. And then there's a gas attack and you have to run through the gas attack and like, and like try to like survive the gas attack. And your father like finally gets you into the house and like, you know, kind of whatever. And then the like kind of tells you, but you have to be careful and all that, whatever. And then a soldier comes, and when the soldier comes, you have to play dead, and then you have to go find a knife and stab him and then run away with a gas mask. And there's more gas attacks, and you have to, you know what I mean? It's like, it is, it's like scary, and it's like really is like, it's scary. Like, it's not just like, you know, it's a video game. It's like, what's going on here in this game? I don't know. It's just strange, like, to. It'd be like if you were like making an art project about a game or something and you had to do so, you know what I mean? It's like you ratchet it up to the 10th degree to like really, really like turn the news into a game kind of thing. It was so bizarre to me because I had maybe about 10, 15 years when I hadn't really played many of these kind of games. Right. Mm-hmm. So now they've gotten so complex in those kind of ways that, I don't know, it's bizarre. And most of the game is like fine, but there's also just like a lot of weird things that I've never really encountered before where it's like a lot of it is like clearing apartment buildings and stuff, right? For terrorist cells or something. Mm-hmm. And in the actual game, it's like you're walking around room to room, but there's like civilians too throughout the whole building. So you just hear the like babies crying and like people, like a lot of the times, like it'll be like a mother or something, and then she kind of pushes her kid away and then grabs a rifle from under the bed or something, you know. It's like really like, it's really like they put a lot of like weird stuff in it like that, like where I don't know, it's like I've never experienced something like that before where it's just the rubble and the gas and all that would just blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what is going on in this game? I don't know.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy that they pretty much turn the Syria like conflict into like that's directly from Syria, you know? So that's pretty wild. I don't pay too much attention to Call of Duty, but I didn't know they were doing that. They've always sort of had, from what I understand, this like vague, like this Uzbekistan stuff where like there's this like bad pseudo Russian terrorist group is the bad guys or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was this game, but there was another game that it was supposedly set in the Middle East somewhere. And it was like the language that they would have on all the signage and stuff was like not really Arabic. Like it looked like Arabic, but it was, it wasn't really, it was just like gibberish. And it's like, why would you go? I never understood that. Like, I think in that movie, The Dictator, the Sacha Baron Cohen movie, they did that too. And obviously that's like a joke, but this is, you know, it wasn't trying to be a joke in the video game.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's always weird to me when people do stuff like that, where it's just like made up languages. When it's like it's supposed to emulate a real one, just use the real one. It's not that hard.
So they said that they were using Arabic in the game. I you know, I can't tell obviously for the written stuff, but like, you know, a lot of the game is in Arabic and stuff, like because they're running around in this Uzbekistan place and stuff. And you know, there are Russians in it, and they kind of do their own. You know, there's, but it's, again, it's hidden behind, like, he's the bad general or whatever, you know, like the bad commander, so that it's not like, you know, it's not like Russia itself is the bad guy kind of thing. And you're not supposed to kill Russians and all that. And, but they are, you know, there are clearly like, you know, bad guys in it, but that doesn't really, I don't know, to me, that doesn't bother me as much because it follows just conventions kind of thing.
Like that's how I feel about it too. Yeah.
But the gas stuff where you're seeing all the civilians fall down and choke and stuff is just like, okay, that's a bit far for me. I don't know. Yeah.
It's just kind of grim.
And even just the gameplay and stuff, I really was surprised at how it really, I don't know. Just, I feel like there's something not healthy about just hearing a bunch of screams and shooting people or something. I don't know. I'm not really, it's just like, it's one of those things where everyone wants to turn it into like a, like take the argument a few steps down the road kind of thing and go, well, it doesn't actually cause more murders or it doesn't actually cause desensitization or something like that. That's fine. I understand why, like, you know, people would do that. But to me, it's just like some things are just not healthy in themselves to like just do all the time or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter if it causes something else. It just shouldn't be done in itself kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah. It's just,
Yeah, I think... There's like this weird thing where everything is like a political statement, even if you are just trying to make like some shooter. And it used to, those used to be so cartoonish and stuff that it was like not, it didn't even enter the realm of really being any kind of like issue or whatever. Yeah. But it, you know, people still tried to make, I feel like they pulled this stuff into this whole discourse around this stuff. So now it's like they have to do something serious. They have to kind of like be well considered about the politics that they're representing. But they're making a game where you just run around and shoot people. Like that's the basis of the game.
Yeah.
You're never going to be able to make some kind of like decent political statement if, like, you know, when is that ever like a good thing, you know? So yeah it's very weird. I don't really care much for that. I kind of like a shooty kind of game. It should be kind of like a little bit more cartoonish to me.
Yeah. So the actual sort of missions and stuff is fine kind of to me because it's more kind of just, like it's newsy, but you know, there are a lot of strange things in it that just, there's a scene where you have to like just survive interrogation in a prison and stuff. And that like just little things like that where they're waterboarding you and you have to like gasp for air. And it just doesn't
sound fun.
It's just, you know? Strange. It's just, I mean, the actual shooting part is incredibly fun. Like running around and like shooting things. That's fine.
Sure. But,
like,
that's what it should be. You know, it should just be like mission after mission of like fun. Like, I don't know. I like tactical kind of shooter games where it's a little bit strategic and you have to kind of plan things out a bit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's the fun part of the game. Just do that. Don't like stick all this weird stuff in. Like, there was one game where there's like a torture scene. I can't really remember if it was a GTA or something. Yeah, I think it was GTA 5 where you had to like torture a guy for information. It was just like not fun. Like, okay, now you use this instrument. Now you use this instrument. And it's just like, this is just weird and creepy.
Yeah.
What's the point of this? I'm not watching some like you know, Hungarian black and white, like, you know, I was trying to drive a sports car around and now I have to do this bullshit.
Yeah. There's a mission where you're at like a US embassy there and you have to basically try to evacuate different people and things. And at one point you need like a security key that someone has and she's trapped in a different room and you've just got like you're on the phone with her. And so what you have to do is hack into the security cameras and tell her which way to go, like back and forth, like throughout the building, just by following her with the security cameras. And you have to like tell her where to go, like so that if she runs, you know, a certain way, then the terrorists will see her so she gets shot, right? But the scenes that, I mean, that's kind of a clever idea, I think, right? To get people, because that's something that happens in a lot of action movies, obviously, where you got to remote kind of direct this person or whatever. That's fine. But it's so visceral at times because you just, well, for me at least, I'm not good at these, you know, games in general, but like, she just died so many times, me trying to get her. And it's always like really, really brutal, right? Like, it's like the guys are like, they see her and then they run after her and shoot her and she has no weapons. So she just is defenseless. Right. So it's really kind of weird like that. Or she like sees a person on the ground and she like tries to help him. And then you have to like yell at her, be like, you know, I mean, the guy's yelling at her being like, you know, you don't have time for that. Keep going kind of thing. It's just, I don't know. It's very, I don't know. It's kind of a, it's a few steps removed from just being like a special forces guy hunting things or whatever. I don't know. So,
right.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Hitman series, I think, does a pretty good job of keeping its distance a little bit from like the political import of what they're representing in the game, where it's, it doesn't take itself super seriously. GTA probably does a decent job most of the time because they've always kind of been like, you know, that kind of like South Park, like we don't really care. We're just making fun of everything sort of attitude.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, well, you can't really take anything super seriously in the game. So when you like run somebody over, it's like, you know, it's obviously, it's not at all similar to what like a realistic portrayal of that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like media in general is sort of doing this weird thing. Like a few years ago, it seemed like there was a big tendency to, for like adults to get into like kids movies or like nostalgic sort of like, you know, Star Wars and all this kind of stuff, like stuff from their childhood. And because it was sort of like a safe, like happy zone or whatever. And, you know, that seems a little, I don't know. That's fine, I guess. I don't have a problem with it, but it's a little bit cringy or whatever.
Yeah.
But now it's like that little happy zone has, it's like that's the only place they really feel comfortable with things. So now that has to include all of these, all the politics that they want to see and everything. And
yeah.
Because it's such a like a heavy didactic kind of thing where like all the messaging has to be very unambiguous and just saying the good things are good and the bad things are bad and that's it. I can't like miss, there can't be any possibility of any kind of gray area or exploration of anything. It's just like a didactic kind of thing. I feel like that's what's bleeding into these games, and you get really weird stuff like this where it's like, oh, we have a responsibility to be like no, you don't. You have a responsibility to be entertaining and just like leave all this like weird stuff out of it.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that, because you're looking at it, I guess, differently than I am, where my instinct at first was to think that it was like just trying to ratchet up the news factor to 10 kind of thing. But you're right that it is trying to make it not like woke isn't the right word, obviously, but like it's trying to make it like relevant or something, right? Like it's trying to make it like that it actually considers the viewpoints of the people involved or something. And
right.
And therefore it makes it so that you have to play as a child trapped in the war or something. And just, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's very, very strange to do that to me. I don't know. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Are other games like that at all? Like, is it just, you know, or have you played ones where they kind of do stuff like that extreme, or is it not?
The ones I play aren't really like that.
Yeah.
Like, XCOM is very, it's almost like an 80s action movie, like, and it really plays that up. Like, it's not trying to be very realistic or take the idea of like an alien invasion seriously at all. Like it's sort of like there's cinematic like cutscenes and stuff in it, but it's really like cookie cutter like action sci-fi movie stuff, and it's sort of done purposefully in that way. It's not really it's not like ironic about it exactly, but it's really not trying to be serious. Like It's yeah. stuff blowing up. You're shooting these aliens, and that's it. And it's just, I think like the people making it know you're there for the gameplay, and it's just like the whole storyline is really basic, and it's just there to kind of have a coherent narrative as you move through the, you know, as you kind of evolve from level to level and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that World War II shooter that I play sometimes, Red Orchestra 2, that's kind of an interesting thing to look at, I think, from this angle, because they tried to do they stuck very close to the actual battles of Stalingrad, and they tried to represent those areas very accurately. Like, they actually yeah. went to those locations and took pictures, and they I mean, when I see pictures of those areas, I can immediately recognize exactly everything in it, because the
oh, levels yeah.
in the game are exactly like it. Yeah, and that makes the game really fun, because a lot of shooter games, they're built, or like the levels are built around like being balanced, and it's not very realistic and stuff. And I sort of like the levels in this game because it's not like that. Like, there's certain levels where one team has a heavy advantage, and you just have to deal with that if you're on the other side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. so what ends up happening is, like, as the community now, the game's like 10 years old. So the community is sort of like, we've been playing these for a very long time. So when we get to one of those levels where one team has the advantage, all the good players kind of move over to the other team to sort of like, because they enjoy the challenge of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it sort of like balances itself out. And it's just one of those things, like, you know, you're going to lose like 80% of the time, but sometimes you win, and that feels really satisfying. So,
yeah.
But they kind of do have a lot of like people screaming and stuff. Like, one of the things that if like a Russian soldier dies, sometimes they'll just be like gurgling on the ground and like, mama, mama. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of horrifying at first, I guess. So a lot of people call the game a PTSD simulator.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because it's just really intense, and the sound effects are fairly accurate, and then they have all that screaming and stuff like that. But I guess you play it enough, and it kind of becomes sort of silly in itself. I think it's yeah. old enough that it doesn't have the, like, it just isn't able to be realistic enough, really. Like, it's kind of yeah. clunky and stuff, so it's just like inherently a little bit goofy.
Yeah, I guess because so the other games that I've been playing a lot in the last like few months since I got this thing is Fallout 4 and Red Dead 2, which are not like, Fallout 4 is obviously very, very cartoony.
Yeah,
throughout all of it, and it's, you know, set in the far future and wastelands and all that. But and then there's Red Dead 2. That one kind of does lean a little bit towards politics sometimes, you know, like, or like, you know, like, it tries to, but it's still so, you know, this was the first one I played that was like totally, yeah, trying to be like present day wacky kind of, I don't know. So, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, at the same time, it was really fun to play the shooting parts. I don't know. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, that's the key thing, I think. As long as the core gameplay is fun, and there's not a lot of, or hopefully any of this kind of like, just like, crammed in weird stuff. It's like, oh, we have to make a scene like this to be responsible creators yeah. or whatever.
Yeah.
Then it's fine, I guess. I think The Witcher is kind of an interesting thing, because they, I don't think they're like trying to be relevant or whatever you want to call it, but they do kind of take it a little bit more seriously than a lot of games do. And I think it's just that they have like decent writing, which a lot of games really don't have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think if you just have like good writers on your team, you can create something that can be relevant in a way that it works with the game, instead of like being like this just tacked on thing or just yeah. really awkward. Another game that is pretty interesting about the way it handles politics is Disco Elysium.
Yeah.
You've heard of that one?
Yeah, I have. That's the Chapo guys are in it, I think.
Yeah, they are. They did some of the voice acting, which was pretty cool. I actually thought they did a good job. I didn't recognize them until I like read about it online. I was like, oh yeah, that does sound like them.
Yeah. And what happens in the game? I haven't really, like, what is the...
Well, yeah. It's like, it's an RPG, but it's not really like The Witcher or something like that. It's more like those old school point and click adventures.
Yeah.
You kind of just walk around and you're mostly talking to people. There's no combat or anything like that. And a lot of the game is really focused on this your character's like psychological struggles and stuff, like mm-hmm. instead of leveling up and gaining like points in strength and stuff like that, you have these personality traits that will actually talk to you or like interrupt your conversations and kind of like be voices in your head, sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can level those up, which isn't an inherent bonus. Some of them, if you level them up, it just means like those drives or impulses are becoming stronger. So you have stuff like, oh, I can't remember all of them now, but there's like intimidation or something along the lines of like will to power, or there's some that are kind of like a little bit supernatural where you have like this sixth sense about things and you can kind of like feel the history of locations if you focus on it and stuff. And there's like one that's electrochemistry or something. It's sort of about like a appetite for drugs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause your character's like an alcoholic, basically. He's an alcoholic mm-hmm. detective who has totally botched this murder case. And then this guy, you're like partner for the game. He visits you and is trying to like clean up the mess that you've made, basically. And you don't remember what happened like the 2 weeks before. And you're trying to piece together what's going on and try to just get out of the mess. So it's interesting because you're a fairly weak character. Like you don't have a lot of influence or ability to do much besides just try to like wiggle out of situations. So mm-hmm. it's kind of cool and different, but so it takes place in this like alternative, I think it's in the future. It's just like an alternative world. And it's like a century or so after this big revolution happened. And it's like mm-hmm. a city state kind of a thing. And it's sort of like the French Revolution or like a almost like a socialistic kind of thing happened. And then it sort of failed and became corrupt. So mm-hmm. there's a big union that controls a lot of the economy that is very corrupt. And it's sort of like half union, half mafia kind of thing.
Yeah.
The police are very weak. So even though you're a policeman, you don't really have, like, people don't really care. Like, they kind of ignore you and stuff. And so there's people with different political views. Like, there are people who are, like, pro-revolution in a kind of old way. People who are, like, pro-revolution in sort of, like, overthrowing the current order. There are reactionaries of various kinds. Like there's people who want like a kind of like a monarchical system. There's people who are just openly like racist, like they have anti-foreigner type of views and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting. Like a lot of the story take is around like a labor dispute, actually, like the union and these corporations or something like that. I kind of forget exactly what the storyline in that sense is, because mostly it's focused on your characters like personal stuff. But it's cool because you kind of get to, you know, you choose your options when some kind of situation comes up that you need to take some kind of side politically. You kind of have options to choose what your response would be, and that starts to influence those inner voices, sort of a thing. Like you mm-hmm. kind of become a certain kind of cop. It tells you like you're the sad cop, or you're the hobo cop, or you're the communist cop, or I forgot what the reactionary one is. But it's cool because it allows you to, like, it represents these different political bents and stuff without being really ham-fisted. Like it kind of, it's a little bit satirical about all of them. Like it's pretty black-pilled, I guess you could say, about the various sorts of things. Like it kind of takes an attitude that like, well, all these things are not really like the be-all end-all solution. So it's not really like an earnest like pro or anti any particular kind of politics. Although I tend to think that the people who made it seem to lean pretty left, especially since they got the Chapo guys on there. I feel like that kind of indicates something, but that's a good game. It's fun.
Yeah, I should check that out. I don't know. I think that's my, I think I need to get something that's almost like very different than what I'm playing now, because I don't know. I gotta figure out something less not visceral, but like, you know, something less less screaming babies and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that would definitely fit the build. It's like a lot of reading, basically. It's almost like a book sort of an experience.
Yeah,
I like the game, but there are, given the fact that the gameplay itself could really be appropriate for a very casual gamer, like someone who really doesn't play games, it's pretty easy to manage. Like you just click around and there's not really a lot of pressure on you in terms of time or mm-hmm. like having like really specific like hand-eye coordination or anything like that. Mm-hmm. There's certain things about the game that do kind of bug me that they didn't need to do, where it requires you to sort of have a little bit more like that kind of like gamery instinct about things. Like it's possible to get locked out of the game, basically. Like you can sort of like, you won't be able to die, but you also won't be able to progress. And
oh, really?
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that's a possibility. They really could have just made it so like that couldn't happen. But I mean, it's no big deal. And if you do start to play it, I can kind of like warn you against doing certain things or not doing certain things so that you avoid those.
Sure. But twice when I was playing Modern Warfare, the game glitched at different points and couldn't let me progress in the mission because and both times it took me like way longer than it should have to figure that out. Like I was like trying to shoot something and it wouldn't hit it right, kind of thing, or something like that. And I realized eventually that it was just broken, kind of thing. Like the update wasn't patching right or something or whatever. And then they just didn't, anyways. And then, but there's a scene which is pretty cool where there's like an unmanned drone, mm-hmm. and you call in airstrikes and stuff like that, basically, whatever. And I don't know, that's pretty, it's badass. Seeing like you're like laser targeting things. And I don't know, there's a scene where there's like little mini drones that are flying around, and during the combat, you can kind of like pick up your drone targeting thing and just like fly them into things and stuff, and
that's cool.
So that's like the positive side. If it was like that kind of thing, that'd be fine. But yeah, then the being trapped under a rubble and white helmets part was not as cool. So I don't know. Yeah,
have you paid any attention to that game Death Stranding?
So only a tiny bit. I know what you're talking about, but I haven't actually. Yeah. I'm not sure what happens in the actual game, really. But
I haven't played it, but I was watching some streamers play it. Yeah. And it seems like it's more fun to watch than to play, actually.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of cool. But it's almost more like a movie. Like it's sort of, for some reason it reminded me of Children of Men in a weird way. I don't know. I'm not really sure why that is, but you basically play as like this courier and you're supposed to just like haul stuff around from place to place, and for some reason that has like a really big significance in like, I don't know, it's a little bit weird how important you are to the world or the way that mm-hmm. it's made out to be, because it seems like there's other people who are also doing it and it's like, why are you the important one anyway? I don't know, I think that kind of thing is sort of interesting if you think about, you know, this thing of like games being relevant or being feeling like they have some kind of responsibility to be relevant or mm-hmm. whatever, because I think the concept itself hits that mark just in itself, and then it can focus on the gameplay instead, like the idea of people who, because you're just like this guy who has a job sort of a thing, you know, mm-hmm. and it's sort of about how that job contributes to the construction of this new world. Cause I guess the it's sort of like in a kind of a post-apocalyptic sort of a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And and then like the whole story is a little bit more kind of like it's not really political. It's more like this universal kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. I didn't watch the game all the way through to the end. So I don't really know how the story evolves over time, but, yeah, it just seemed like a good way to do that kind of thing. I don't know if Metal Gear Solid games are similar in that way. I actually had never played them. They're just not my style, so I just play them or anything. But
yeah,
I know people like that. Like they kind of people talk about how like good commentary those games are on like world politics and stuff in a weird kind of way.
Oh, I always thought that was like just a total joke, but it is actually like that people really.
Well, I think it is kind of a joke, but it's also like they're so weird and ridiculous that it's actually closer to the truth than the Call of Duty sort of thing that you're talking about, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's one of those situations, though. Like I said, I don't really know. I haven't played them myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking like all this relevance type of, like this obsession with being relevant, I think it kind of started off with The Daily Show, because The Daily Show was supposed to be funny, right? Like they were a comedy show, and And they always used to do that disclaimer. Right? It's like, oh, we're just a comedy show. We're not trying to be the news or whatever. But yeah, then yeah. It kind of like people were just watching that instead of the news. And that's sure. Where people got their news. And then it's sort of like, I don't know if they, I'm not blaming them for this, but it seemed to be like they acquired the responsibility of being more like, well, now that people watch us for our actual opinions and like are really taking us to be the news, we need to, you know,
yeah, yeah,
do it right. We can't just goof around and be irresponsible, sure, or whatever. And that seems to just be a cycle that a lot of different kinds of media are going through, where it's like, it's not just entertainment. Sure. This is also the real thing now. So it's just lame. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
yeah. And it's funny because The Daily Show always went both kind of extreme directions on that too, where they would do things and then just kind of say, like, you know, they would always have all the different top politicians on and just treat them nicely.
Right.
And, you know, like they had Musharraf on once, right? Like just people like that, like just,
yeah.
So that was kind of, you know, they'd do that and then kind of be like, oh, we're just a joke show. And then they would kind of go the other direction and be like, you know.
Yeah, just kind of playing both sides sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I saw an article from 2008 or something like that, that was like saying it was like a Clinton supporter writing about the Obama boys and how they all watched The Daily Show and that. And it was kind of funny because it's just like, it was like directly Bernie bro kind of thing, right? But like,
yeah, it's weird.
12 years ago. yeah.
It's like rehashing the Bernie bro thing, but in the past. Yeah. And it's like, I don't remember that being a thing. Like, I don't remember that being.
Yeah.
It must have not caught on. And so they, well, I don't know.
They tried all different things back then. Like she, I mean, they were like the origin of the truther stories and all that too, right? So like,
right,
the Obama, yeah, like the.
Him in the turban and all that.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, that's yeah, I think it's true. But I mean, even for like, yeah, I think it's just one of those things where it's, you know, and Jon Stewart's kind of gone all the full that direction now, where taking himself very seriously on a lot of that stuff. So
yeah,
he made like Rosewater, I guess, that or whatever it's called, that movie about like Iran or whatever, and then obviously, what do you call it? Not Steve Carell.
Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert. I guess now his show is all serious, right?
Yeah, it's really, yeah, it's really, it's like Keith Olbermann kind of.
Oh yeah,
that's what it reminds me of. Yeah.
Yikes! Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know, but I mean, at the same time, I guess, you know, all things must pass away. Just like, you know, like we just, that's, I don't know, that's the flow of time, I guess. Yeah. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's sort of like things are going to just, people will watch whatever they watch, and then that has to be where this sort of stuff goes. It's not really like you can set it up. So like, okay, well, if you want serious news, you watch it here. If you want entertainment, you watch it here. Like, people are just going to watch the entertainment, I guess.
Yeah. What do you think about, have you heard about, you've seen that Joe Rogan stuff? Heard of people have been?
Oh, yeah. I guess people are upset that Joe Rogan endorsed Bernie.
Well, and they're mad that Bernie put the video of him endorsing him on his own timeline, whatever, like, so that Bernie's endorsing his views, I guess, is the theory about other stuff.
I don't think that really works out. Yeah. I don't know. That probably wasn't necessarily, that didn't seem necessary, I guess, for Bernie to even really make much of an acknowledgement of it. But it's obviously a pretty good thing for for Bernie's campaign, I guess. I think people are probably overplaying how much significance it really has. I don't think people who listen to Joe Rogan feel, I don't know, people online have a very weird idea about what Joe Rogan's about. Like, they call him like alt-right and transphobic and all this kind of stuff. Like, he's very like libertarian about social issues like that. So he really doesn't care about trans. I think he's had trans people on his show a number of times, but he's like against the whole, like in sports, like
I think that's what they're mad about, maybe.
Well, I feel like that's a legitimate opinion. I mean, I don't really care too much about it, but like, what's the counter argument? Like, I feel like I'm not saying that I necessarily agree or disagree with anything in particular about it, but I feel like it's a fairly reasonable thing to be like, well, these people are, you know, they developed in a male body. There's a reason we have men's and women's sports separated. Like, it needs to be figured out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's, doesn't have to do with your gender identity. It has to do with like the physical ability of your body.
Yeah.
You can kind of see them like trouncing the competition in the women's sports, you know? So it's obvious. It's not just like a made up issue. It's like a real pressing thing. It's like, what are we going to do about this? Is this right or wrong? And I don't know. It should kind of be discussed in a way that's not like just about like who's being a bigot, who's not being woke enough. Yeah, that doesn't seem to be that's not the point he's trying to raise.
Yeah. I mean, I have nothing smart to say about that. I just said, I kept like imagining, and then I guess people are also saying stuff like Elizabeth Warren asked to be on the show and stuff too. Like, so, cause all the Clinton people now are pushing this story hard as like a proof that, Bernie's willing to compromise on anything, I guess, kind of thing, but it just didn't, which is a funny, but
that's Bernie Sanders for you, always compromising.
But. I thought it would be funny to imagine, like, I kept thinking of different people that like Elizabeth Warren would go meet to try to like get the same kind of energy from people. Like she would go like talk to Adam Carolla, you know what I mean? Like, and then be like, and Adam Carolla would be like, okay, you got to be able to name one rifle used in World War II. then,
I want to see her on the Legion of Skanks with Luis J. Gomez.
Like, sure.
That would be good.
Or like, I imagined her with her convoy of trucks and staffers going down to Bisbee, Arizona, and being like, okay, Doug Stanhope,
she's just
what do I need to do? What do I need to promise? And he's like, I want, you know, acid to be sold in Walmarts tomorrow. And she's like, yeah, okay, I agree to that. Please just give me the boost. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's funny because it's one of those issues where it's, like the chain of logic from supposed harm to what Bernie did kind of thing is like, you know, how many steps down the road kind of thing, right? Like it's you say something nice about someone, you know, you share something that someone else said that was nice about you, and that person said something bad that might influence someone else that, you know, has negative opinions about trans people to do something bad about trans people to the trans person that is then harmed or something. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you just have to, you know what I mean?
I just reject the whole idea that he even has negative opinions about trans people. Like, people are just accepting that as a given. And maybe maybe you disagree. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I don't think you should just accept that. Like, I don't think that's necessarily true. Like, if you truly like have examined I listen to his podcast fairly regularly, and I don't listen to every episode, but you know, I subscribe to it and I listen to it, and he's not transphobic, he's not racist, he's not any of these, like, you know, people think of him as like alt-right or whatever. He's not like that at all. He definitely has guests on there that are like that, and he doesn't push back against it, but he doesn't really push back against anything anybody says. He sort of just goes along with it and tries to have a conversation and let the guests talk. And I'd probably prefer that he doesn't have those people on, but he has people from kind of all over the spectrum. Like he has people on there to like promote the Palestinian resistance and stuff and explain that side of the issue. And he had Jimmy Dore on there, who isn't maybe the maybe that's not like the epitome of leftist thought or whatever, but he's not like trying to push any kind of political agenda. I think that's just really disingenuous.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like a pseudo debate kind of thing, right? It's not, it's so far removed from just like, how should we run healthcare in the country or something, right? Like, just like, it's just not, I don't know.
I think it's an easy thing for the Clinton Warren camp to come up with, because they don't like Rogan already just on the basis that he's more popular than like CNN, which is like, well, we got to get rid of the competitor, basically. So like, that's what all those slams against him are about from like going way back. Right. And then it's weird to me that this whole thing didn't come up when Bernie did an entire episode with Joe Rogan. That was sort of we can't really say anything here because then people will actually go watch it. But with the endorsement, so-called, now it's like, oh, well, now it's a big deal, right?
Well, so the difference is that now Bernie is doing well. Like he's close. He's like a week away or so from doing pretty well in Iowa, maybe. So that's the, you know, they're pulling out all the stops. Like, they're pulling out all the stories of him from the 70s and 80s and stuff of him saying things like, did you see the wage slavery one, the mini story there? Or
I saw it. I didn't really look into
that. Yeah, that's about as much as you needed, because it just there's no, you know, they're just trying to figure out everything, which is, I guess, good in some ways, because it's kind of funny just, you know, how low they're going to have to, you know, what are they going to do at this point? If he wins Iowa, then maybe there's going to be like a few weeks there where we'll find out anything that is actually bad about him, you know? Like, if there's, because that's the thing, they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to, like, if they have, like, photos of him with, like, I don't know, dead prostitutes or something like that, yeah, like, that would be the time that they release it, I guess. But other than that, yeah, I don't know, it's pretty, I don't know, yeah.
It's cool how good he's doing. Yeah. I'm trying to be hesitant to get too, like, optimistic about it, but it's looking good. I'm happy to see it.
I joined one of those betting websites the other day. It was a mistake. I shouldn't have done it, but like,
very haram, absolutely haram.
yeah. And I put $30 that he would win the Democratic nomination, because I wanted
to. What were the odds there?
I don't know if they were that good. Maybe like 7-1 or something, 5-1 or something. So I don't know. It wasn't like a lot, but it was enough that or maybe it was 3-1. I can't remember. But anyways, point being is that I didn't want to give money to Bernie, because I just not you know, I'm not American, and I don't want to get involved in all that. But like, I did want to like have skin in the game on this one, because I want him to win that. And I thought that would be a fun way to do it. So, and then I realized like 5 minutes later why it was a bad idea, because the way that they charge it is like as a cash advance to your credit card and all this weird stuff. And and they charge, so my bank charged me $5 for making the bet and all that. I don't know. So I was already getting punished by sin. Yeah.
Yeah. Do not bet. Do not gamble. Do not play games of chance, and do not engage in divination. These are all completely prohibited.
Yeah. So that was a mistake, but you know, you live and learn. You live through it, as William Gaddis would say. Yeah. But so do you want to maybe do some questions now, or what do you want?
Sure. Yeah, let's jump into the questions. Let me load that up. I keep thinking of I used to have this PE teacher when I was in India that couldn't pronounce like R sounds very well, like at all. It was really weird, because he had a very, like, he had the accent down. Like, he had a very, like, you'd think he grew up in America or something. He sounded like he had perfect American English, except he just couldn't do this one sound. So he would always say boys and gulls. And I always think of like Bernie Sanders, how he would pronounce that, like Bunny Sanders. Anyway, that's not going to be funny to anyone but me, well, let's do this one. How effective for either party is it for religious groups to work with leftist groups?
Was the word effective? Was that what?
Yeah, said? How effective for either party, I think meaning religious groups or with the leftist groups, is it for those two to work together?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the problem, like, just one of the things to start with is just that, like, religion means almost anything kind of thing, right? Like, just...
Right.
So, you know, just statistically, I would say most people on the broad left probably are religious worldwide or something, right? Like, or like close to it, you know, I don't know. And I know what the person means, though, is that, like, you know, people who are pretty dedicated to religious stuff is an autonomous thing. And then I don't know. I feel like people should work with anyone that they can on like promoting the common good or being good together or something, or, you know, working on things, you know, positively. And I think that's just a basic religious value and stuff either way. But
sure,
I mean, at the same time, if things come up and it's a, you know, I always feel like if you look for reasons to work with someone, and you know, most people, at least, you're gonna find good reasons. And if you look for reasons to not work together, you're gonna find reasons, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it's just your emphasis. And you know, like, people, I guess, like, one of the big things, and maybe what this is really getting at, is like, if you're pro-life or something, right? Or and you want to work with socialists to, you know, promote, say, good social programs, and then, you know, and then the socialists might say, no, we're not going to work with them because they're pro-life or whatever. I don't know. But, like, to me, it's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, there's no way around that. You just have to, people exist in the world, and you kind of have to just go about your day and do positive things that you can. And I don't know. It, like, I feel like formal organizational problems like that are for really, they're only for like big organizational leaders or something to really not worry too much about or something. Cause it's like, if you're going to accept money from them or something, I don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you. But the guy was asking how effective.
Okay.
I don't know. It never seems super important, to be honest. Like for the leftists, I've never seen it be like a major thing. Like, oh, we've got, you know, this church on board or something. It's always sort of like a very, almost like a token kind of thing of support.
Yeah.
I think the right does a really remarkably effective job of like integrating politics and religion into like a single sort of thing.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like the whole evangelical movement is got pretty strong political overtones and stuff, and I think they do a good job. So I mean, I think that just takes a lot of money, so I don't know if there's like a way for the left to do that.
Sure. Well, I was thinking of stuff like the student nonviolent coordinating committees or something like that, like the civil rights stuff or something, where a lot of it was religion plus left.
That's true. I guess I don't know too much about that to be able to say how effective I think that was, or how influential or important that like alliance was.
Sure. Yeah.
Any ideas why Sanders' campaign isn't doing propaganda urging supporters to register as Democrats, given the voter suppression and purges in the United States?
I think that they are. I don't know. I've seen a fair amount of that. I'm not sure though. I honestly don't understand the question, because I don't know. Like,
yeah, I don't really know either. Maybe, I mean, that was a little bit of an older question from early November, so maybe at the time it didn't seem like it or something. Have you changed the name of some of your old, relatively speaking, episodes, or am I just losing it? I don't think we've changed the name of anything.
No, haven't touched it. Yeah, so you're losing it.
Go to a doctor. Do either of you have any ongoing Twitter beefs? It would be good drama if you discuss them on the podcast. I have one Twitter beef with a certain individual who I mistakenly believed that his girlfriend in his profile picture was his slave, and I'm always in the market to get a slave, and so I asked him how much he paid for it, and he got really upset with me, and I later apologized, but I don't think he accepted my apology, so... Yeah, that's my only beef, really. I mean, I guess there's millions of people who hate me, but besides, that's like the one thing, like, you know, mano a mano kind of thing.
I get blocked pretty quickly by anyone that doesn't, you know, like what I'm doing. So that, you know, that kind of clears that up. And then I also systematically block all the big right-wing accounts kind of thing, because people talk about them too much already, I think. So I don't really... For me, it's more there's like people that persistently just annoy me over long periods of time. And sometimes I just follow them and talk to them, because I feel like it's better to try to figure out their point of view, or like at least endure their point of view, than to just turn my head from it or something.
Right. So. That's the genesis of this podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. Sure.
I think I'm also blocked by Dimashki. If anyone is familiar with Dimashki, he's a pretty popular account in the like Muslim Twitter, particularly the sort of, I wouldn't say he's like pro-Islamist, but he's kind of tending in that direction for sure. And we used to be pals, and then I like made a joke at his expense a little bit. I guess it, you know, pushed the button a little bit too hard, and then he blocked me.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a beef. I don't really know. Okay. Gremlins 1 or 2?
I haven't seen either of them in a very long time, but I recently watched a Gremlins 2 review on Red Letter Media, and so I don't know. I think that there were fun movies when I was young. I don't know. And when I was, they also had this, I'm not sure if you remember this, but there was this toy. I feel like you probably missed this, but called the Boglin. Do you remember this?
I don't know. No.
So the Boglin. And what it was like a toy for kids that it was like a hand puppet, but the puppet, like because I always got them confused, like Gremlins and Boglins. They don't look that similar, but they're kind of like small little weird creatures kind of thing. And the Boglin was like a brain-like kind of thing. Like it was this weird, ugly, pink, purple kind of thing. And it had these weird little arms that you had to move around and stuff. And it was supposed to be like a gross-out toy or something like that kind of thing, where you like shocked people with this Boglin thing. And I became obsessed with it because, I don't know, I just really liked it. So what I did was, as a kid, as I drew like my idea for a Boglin, and it was just the Boglin, but then they it had blades on its hands. And I was like, it would have blades on its hands, and then it could like cut people or something. So my mom was like, this is a good idea, you know, just like to be nice to me. So she mailed it to Mattel as like an idea of like, you know, you guys should make this toy because Donnie said so. And then they sent me a letter back saying like, due to our rules, we're not allowed to submit things to our, you know, it had to be sealed in a vault and all this kind of stuff, whatever. Like just the standard reply that they give to kids that do this kind of thing, right? Like
that's the reply to kids.
Yeah is that, yeah, it was very, very strange. It was like, we can't let our designers see it because of our contracts and all this and stuff. So I still have the letter, and it was I don't know, so that cut short my toy designer life. But anyways, whenever someone says Gremlins, I think of the Boglin with the sharp claws, just like, yeah. So
that, yeah, I don't know, maybe try like a Chinese company. They pump out 500 of those things for you, no problem. Yeah. I don't remember like which one I've seen. I think I've seen one, or maybe I've seen both. So I'm gonna vote based on Gremlins number one or number two, as in like, you know, like, you know what I mean, number one or number two.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with number one because, I don't know, Gremlin poop sounds pretty nasty. I don't want any of that. Okay. So I'm going to go with number one.
Sounds good.
Okay, would you rather everyone in the U.S. was required to take Adderall or Xanax? Donald Trump is the funniest person in the country, so I'm going to vote for Adderall on this one.
I think Adderall, mostly because I kind of see the United States as... it is a good question, I think, because I would say Xanax just to like reduce the amount of violence, maybe, you know, or like, you know, at least they couldn't go overseas and fight people, maybe. Just kind of stuck there and chilling out, and that would be a little bit better than, but I don't know, I feel like someone did get this wish and they did vote for most Americans to start taking opioids, and that didn't really work out. So,
well, Xanax isn't an opioid, actually.
No, I know, but I had to.
You know, it's like a down.
I had to stretch the truth to get the joke in. So.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know. Xanax zombies are really that's scary stuff. So don't take Xanax for fun, guys. It's bad for you. Should I start a secret bank account so my wife won't know that I'm subscribing to the podcast? Yes, definitely.
It's you. If you do that, the banker's going to say, "Oh, I already started another secret account for your wife because she subscribed to the podcast." And yeah,
yeah. How many questions do you get in an average day? I don't really pay attention day to day. Usually, I kind of just check in a couple times a week or something just to see, like if I'm bored or whatever. I'd say we maybe get one or two a day, something like that.
Yeah, but they stack up pretty quickly. So.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, sometimes we get like a big wave. Have either of you actually listened to Cumtown? I hope not. Whichever one of you has is a weirdo. Yeah, I think we both listened to Cumtown.
Yep. Since the start for me. I don't know. I'm a diehard fan.
I kind of pop in and out.
Yeah.
Is anarchism a CIA plot, or is the CIA an anarchist plot?
Ooh.
That's a very good question.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, like a, I guess, I, yeah.
Well, go ahead, go ahead. I got my Trump card on this one.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's probably an anarchist plot, but it's hard to, you know, like, I feel like there's Mormons involved. I'm not really sure Mormons are anarchists. They're more kind of, I guess maybe, you know, the original ones were, but, you know, and the Freemasons are involved somehow.
That's it.
And yeah, Freemasons. So, and they're
a Masonic plot on both ends. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, and they're like a secret society, which is what Bakunin thought should overthrow the capitalist state. So that, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Follow the money, people.
Sure.
A man I really respect believes that females are able to read. How do I approach the topic of his male privilege without going overboard? Well, it's sort of like what you were talking about with like healthcare and pro-life stuff. It's one of those things where people are going to believe what they believe, and there's such a it's such a given socially. We're just all kind of indoctrinated with this idea that everyone can read and that that's just like a normal, natural thing. So I wouldn't push it too hard, but you know, sometimes you can kind of point out like, we asked her to do the navigating with the map and we got lost. That's interesting. You know,
sure.
Things like that, you know?
Yeah.
So every once in a while you can kind of just, you know, point it out. Like I've been saying it, you know, stick to your guns, but don't be pushy. That's what I would say.
Well, I mean, in the sort of psychiatric manuals and stuff, they always say, don't waste your time just directly questioning every delusion that a patient has. Right. Mm-hmm. So if they're saying, I believe that all women can read or something like that, right? You just say, you know, that's interesting. You know, I'll keep note of what you just said.
Right.
I disagree, but that's interesting. And, you know, are you bathing at least twice a week and stuff like that? Just get to the next set of questions. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I had a dream. I was watching that scene in the second Matrix movie where Neo is fighting multiple Agent Smiths, only Neo was Donald and the Agent Smiths were all copies of Vile-Rat. What does it mean?
Wow. So, I don't know. It's going to be like 8 years this year, I guess, or something like that since he passed. But
R.I.P.
So it's been a long time. And when I was thinking about this the other day because... when the Green Zone got invaded, mm-hmm. Vile-Rat used to post about how he wasn't really allowed to go out into Baghdad at all. Like he was stationed there for a while.
Him personally, and, like they were like, keep that guy out of here.
Yeah. Well, he was like a comms tech guy or something, right? So there was no reason for him to be outside the wire or whatever. And then,
sure.
So he said that he just, and he also said there was like, it's one of those things where he just, I think he was more supposed to like do like maintenance of communications equipment. So it's one of those things where like he did the job in a day and then just had to sit around in case something went wrong.
Yeah.
And so what he did is he had a PlayStation 2 with him and he would play like Final Fantasy or something like that and fill every slot on every save card that he had with a perfectly completed game and then delete the games and then start again and fill the cards again. And that was what he did with his time there, which is like, I don't know, it's pretty... That's taxpayer money at work, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so. A great loss to the nation.
Really. Yeah, so, I don't know.
Guys, we all know Zoroastrianism is coming back in a big way. The only questions about its resurgence are, when is it happening and what are we doing to prepare?
Yeah, I guess once people kind of post enough to get Iran liberated, once they've kind of pushed the war narrative enough on their Twitter accounts and the United States decides to invade because the number of pro-war posts outweighs the number of anti-war posts, then Iran will be liberated from Islam and Zoroastrianism will rise from the ashes and just, you know, I feel like it'll sweep across the entire world until the Islamo-Catholic Emirate of the North America will fight them in the streets until, you know, and we'll counterattack and we'll win. So, yeah.
Yeah. So what we need to do is get this hashtag trending, hashtag Majusi Menace. We got to, you know, end the fire worshiping.
Sure.
Though no war with Iran because that's going to kick it all off. So let's not do that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know. Okay. I think that should about do it for this week.
Sounds good.
Okay, so thanks for listening, guys. If you would like a second episode every week, you can subscribe to our Patreon, and that will give you access to our premium episodes, as well as access to our Discord, where you can chat with us in our community and submit questions for the Patreon episodes, which are answered every week. And I hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll catch you next week.